This is the national public broadcast of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
In an Islamic environment or in an Islamic neighborhood where Muslims are living and having their homes and their schools, their business places, they'll have also their place of worship, like we find in Christian neighborhoods. They'll have their mosque. French name for the Arabic word, masjid. They will have their mosque or their masjid or their house of worship. And most likely they'll also have their school. And every morning before daybreak, like I used to hear, I used to be in Chicago neighborhood, South Side neighborhood, when there was no law against having live chickens in your backyard, and having a hen house growing your own chickens. My mother did that. My mother had her own garden, and she had her own hen house, called the hen house, the chicken house. And early in the morning, before daybreak, and sometimes even in the night, you could hear the rooster crow. Well, early in the morning, before daybreak, you will hear the voice of a man called the Mu'adhin. And Mu'adhin means the one who gives the Adhan. Adhan means the call that is intended to go into the ears of the listeners or even the sleepers, to awake the sleepers early in the morning before daybreak. The time is called Fajr time. The Fajr time for morning early before daybreak prayer. Muslims would hear that Adhan, and Adhan begins with the words Hayya al-Salat, Hayya al-Salat, and it's translated into English by authors of Islamic publications as come to prayer, Hayya al-Salat, come to prayer. And you will hear that after the acknowledgement by the Adhan that God is the most important in life or in the world. He will say, Allahu Akbar, God is greater. And he will say that four times. And he will say, I witness that there is but one God, no God, nothing worthy of worship except the God. And he will say that twice. And he will say, I witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. He will say that twice. And after saying, he witnessed that Muhammad is the messenger of God, he will say, then, come to prayer twice. And he will say, come to success twice. Now, we want to look into this language. We're looking at Islam as a call to life. We want to look into this language now. When we say hay, it's translated come. But what does hay really mean? Hay means life or living. Hay means living. There's a proverb that I, in studying the Bible as a student, myself, not under teacher, but I was studying as self-taught students. I was studying the Bible, and I read that there was a proverb in the Bible that really came from the Arabs. It is called an Arab proverb. And that proverb goes like this, Al-Kalbu Hayyun Akbaru Min Masjidin Mayitin. That's the Arabic for it. In English, in the Bible, it says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. A living dog is better than a dead lion. What's the word for living? Hay. And what is the word for call, come to prayer? Come? Hay. Hay ala salat. So the point is that the call is saying more than just come. It's saying come lively, come living. Hey, Alistair, come lively, come living, not as a dead thing, mentally, not even emotionally, but let your whole good life be alive for the worship of God. Hey, Alistair, it's said twice. And it's only said after we witness that God is God, and there is none worthy of worship above him or with him, and after we witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Why does it come after this, after that? Because God first awakens life. God is the creator of the life for human beings, and God is the one who first awakens life in the soul, in the hearts, in the spirit, and in the minds of his created human beings. He is the first to awaken that. So we first acknowledge God. And we acknowledge twice, acknowledge him with our minds and with our souls. Both our minds and with our souls, we acknowledge God, that he is one responsible for all the things we benefit from, and he is the giver of life. So, and then we witness Muhammad. Why is it so necessary Muhammad? Because we are human beings. And we are witnessing that one of us have received communication from the God that made the skies and the earth and everything. This is a big deal. This is no small matter. We have witnessed it doesn't register on people like it should. They're not just for Muhammad, from the earliest times. Abraham, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and the many others, they were human beings. Of Jesus Christ, it is said, I in you and you in me, to say that we are like, as we are the same as human creation. But then he spoke of himself as a special spirit from God too, which is not the same. We are not the same as Jesus Christ when we mention him as a spirit from God. We are not the same as him. He was inspired on a much higher plane of creation than we are, so we have to acknowledge that. But then Jesus doesn't want us to see him high up there in the heavens and not see him down here with us as a human mortal like us. And Muhammad makes that, God makes that very clear in the Quran. He speaks of Muhammad. He says, Muhammad, say to them, to human beings like you, say to them, I am a mortal like you are. That's what Muhammad is told to say. Okay, so after calling us to witness God, and then witness Muhammad, that he's a human like we are, and he received communication from the God, the Lord that created the skies and the earth, all that's in the heavens and all that's in the earth, then we are ready to come to life. We are ready to come to life. We are ready to worship God. How can you worship God when you don't know God? When you don't know who you're to worship? How can you identify with the message that he gave Muhammad if you don't know Muhammad? So we should know Muhammad and know him firstly as a human mortal like us, just like us, with no formal education, with no high place in the world. No, just a common person like us, but lifted up high in the world because of his decency, honesty, and truthfulness, etc., because of him having these high human values. He was lifted up so high in the world. But where did he come from? Came from common humanity. Common humanity. Not the son of a rabbi, not the son of a religious saint, not the student of a religious teacher, no, not the student of a religious saint, no. A man going about life just like the common man goes about life, going to the stores to shop, going to stores to shop to buy groceries or to get whatever he needs, traveling on what the same transportation that others use, and spending time with children and with his wife and family, just like other men having that common life, working on a job, coming back home and going to bed and getting up the next day to go back on the job, just like common people. And that man God made the last prophet, and a mercy to all the world, a messenger with a message that is a mercy to all the world, that he himself, in his human perfection, as God wants it to be, a message and a mercy to all the world. So we getting back to Islam as the call to life. So we say, Hayy al-Falah, come to prayer. Hayy al-Falah. After saying come to prayer twice, with your mind, with your soul, then come to success twice, with your mind, with your soul, with your heart in it, and with your brain in it, come to success. You have to have the two if you're going to be successful in life. You have to have a working brain and a decent heart to be successful in life. So we are called to life. This is life. That's why the word that's used to call us means life. It means living. It means alive. It means life. Hayy, hayy, hayy al-salah. Hayy al-salah, hayy al-salah, hayy al-salah. Come to worship, or come to prayer, come to prayer, come to success, come to success. A Muslim then should understand that our religion is the religion of life. Just as the religions of the great books, revealed books, they're religions of life. They want us to be alive, enjoy the blessings of life that God, the Creator, intended for us. Be alive and enjoy the blessings of life that God intended for us. Allah says in the Quran, if the world had been populated by angels, he would have sent an angel as a messenger to the world. But since the world is populated by human beings, he sent a mortal human person that lives and dies, that have to eat food just like we do, that have to have protection from environmental harms, same as we do, same as us, life as our life. He sent him to be the messenger to us. So what is that to say? Some of us want to be angels. Some of us want to be saintly people, to be pious, and we will give up everything else to have that. Well, that's not Islam. Muhammad the Prophet says, to marry is half of your religion. So that means that we can't go to a life of monks or of people, priests that are celibate, don't believe in getting married or having women for their wives or having children by those women. We can't join them, not if we are Muslim. In Islam, though we respect the saintly people, we highly respect them and love them for their sacrifices that they make to have a beautiful life for themselves and their order, their saintly order, but also to make contributions to our world, though they don't enjoy it like we do. We appreciate their charities and their great sacrifices, but we cannot be one of them, not and be called Muslim. Muslim is not to practice celibacy, not having a relationship with a woman. You are to marry. To marry is half of your religion. This religion is the call to life. Now, let us continue looking at this adhan, this call. After saying, come to success twice, hayya al-salah, hayya al-salah, come to success, come to success. What is it implying? Go out and cultivate the world. Your first father, Adam, the first human being made by God, was put on the planet to use it, to make good benefit of it. So you are descendants of that one. You have the same right of inheritance. You have his right. You have his job. Not only do you inherit his life as a natural human, but you inherit also the role that God gave to him. He's gone. Where is his role now? It's with the living. It's with the present generation. We should be feel obligated by nature, especially man. Man, if you want to enjoy your manhood, if you want to see your manhood come alive, then appreciate God's creation, the earth, and believe that it was created for your heart, for your eyes, for your mind, etc., and mostly for your mind. Believe that it was created for your mind, and go out there and engage it. Find interest in it. do some work. Oh, there's no employment. Make you in some employment. Employ yourself. My father once told us, I don't think he was joking either. We boys, he caught us loafing, and he said, what are you doing? He said, you do your work, go do your work. We told him, Daddy, we finished all our work. He said, if you don't have anything else to do, go and count the leaves on the tree and tell me how many leaves out there on that tree. What was he saying? He's saying that man is created, the male is created to be active, productive, active in a productive way or in a constructive way. Do not waste your time lollygagging. That's what he was telling us. Now, he was a little bit harder than I am, you know, but I appreciate my father in my life because he encouraged me to be industrious and productive. So if you are still a child of the first man, then you should feel you're obligated to be doing some work that is producing something worthwhile for yourself, your loved ones, your family, your loved ones, your friends, or for the society. And Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he told us, the best of us is the one who does something of good or use to the whole society. Now, that means if I work just for myself and my family, I'm good. But who's better? The one that's working for himself and his family and his friends, his neighborhood, and the whole of mankind, for all people. And he will be the most productive, or she will be the most productive and the most valuable to the whole of mankind. That's Adam. Adam was made to be valuable to the whole of mankind by developing the environment, bringing out of the earth what God put there for us to benefit from and use and make a beautiful community or a beautiful environment for ourselves. So this is the call to life. Islam as a call to life. So it says, after Hayya al-Falah, twice, come to success twice. Then it's repeated, God is greater. Now, I heard an imam from overseas. He wasn't native born of America. He was born overseas, but had made it home here in America. And he was saying that about the religion, he was, I want to, try to put it exactly as he did. I can't recall exactly where he put it, but what he was saying, exactly his point was this, that God is greater, God is most important, and man forgets sometimes after he enjoys something to acknowledge God. See, many of us, I recall exactly what he said now. He said, many of us will begin our blessing that we say for the food at the table after dining, when we begin to dine with our families and friends, our family members or friends. He said, we will say, Bismillah, in the name of God. He said, we might make a short prayer. He said, but the more important acknowledgement is not before you eat, is after you eat. He said, after you eat and you have enjoyed yourself, you are trying to forget that it was God that made all of it possible. He said, so the best blessing is after. Now, I hadn't myself read this in the religion at that time. I just learned it from him. But much later in my life, I read in the religious practices of Muslims that we are to say, al-akhiru da'ai, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The last of our du'a, or our prayer, our blessing, should be, praise be to God, the Lord of the world. Yes. So it's not that we should begin with Bismillah, our name of God, but we should also, after we have concluded, enjoyed the meal, we should thank God. We could remember that in all of our enjoyable situations that we find ourselves in, to remember before we go to sleep or close out the enjoyment, at the end of it, to close it out, Thank God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be so wonderful and beautiful. Let's finish the Adhan now, which is a call to life. And I'm saying that that Adhan, which is a call to life, is saying of our religion that our religion itself is the call to life. So lastly, we say God is greater. We say it twice. And we say behind God is greater. We say La ilaha illallah. There is nothing worthy to be worshipped except God. We don't worship ourselves. We don't worship things. We worship God. Now, there's something else that I would like to bring to your attention at this time, and that is the number of times we say God is greater. We say God is greater beginning the call to worship. We say God is greater four times in succession. Four times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But it's said by the Muezzin, he's chanting it in a beautiful voice, as Imam Donnell Kareem is known to do. But four times, Allahu Akbar. What does this have to do with life in Scripture? Abraham, he was a rational man, but a man of sound faith, grace, faith in God. But he also would like to have his mind satisfied, his rational mind, his thinking, his intelligence satisfied. So he said to God, not that I don't believe, I don't have faith, but so that my mind will be satisfied. He said, tell me, how will the dead be raised? And God said, train birds and put a portion on four mountains, on four mountains, and then call to them and see that they come to you. And that was enough for Abraham. So four times. So this is a call to life. It is a call to wake up life. Not those who are dead in their graves and buried and then embalmed and buried and put away, but those who are dead in this world. You're living, you're the walking dead. You're sleeping. You're not really dead, you're sleeping. Your brain has gone to sleep. And God wants to wake up your brain, and he wants to wake up your heart. But sometimes you have to have the brain awaken first for the heart to wake up. Because conditions have become so bad on the brain, the heart can't deal with it. Then sometimes the brain has gone so far astray, only the heart can awake us. You have to appeal to the heart. So this religion appeals to your heart and to your brain. Appeals to your heart firstly, then to the brain. Say, okay, you awaken your heart. Okay, heart, let the brain take over. Isn't that wonderful? Heart, let the brain take over. We can't go into civilization with just the heart. We've seen that through history. We've read history. We've studied history. And we've seen that with just the heart, you can't go into civilization. You need educated people to lead. You need knowledge. A very important woman in archaeology research work, Margaret Mead, social scientist, and also one who did research into the history of things, history of mankind in rocks and matter, etc. She said something. And I love what she said. She said, only the educated are free. Only the educated are free. Well, if that's so, then what about Muslims who are not educated? They haven't graduated from college or not even high school. What about them? If you read the Quran all the way through during the month of Ramadan, and you do that every year, you are educated in this sense I'm speaking to right now. Yes, the revelation of God educates all of the believers. If we stay in touch with what God has revealed, if we come to prayer and hear the recitation of Quran, our holy book recited and read to us, we stay in touch with that, we will not be dumb, we will not be uneducated, we will be educated. But we need education also of how to manage ourselves in these avenues of life, in these United States and in other parts of the world. We need to educate ourselves so we have at least those who are educated in business to know how to manage business life in our neighborhoods and in America. We need education in the various fields of knowledge so that we have people knowing how to get around. But to manage the business of life, of keeping myself a healthy human being, of being decent by my fellow man, that education is in Islam, it's in the Quran. And anyone educated in the life of being a human being cannot be called uneducated person. You're an educated person. Praise be to God. We thank God for giving us life and for creating us to be intelligent. You know, they used to say, what is your IQ? What is your IQ? Intelligent quotient. Intelligent quotient. IQ. Well, if you have a poor IQ, you know, the college, strong colleges, they may not want you. They may not want you. So they ain't gonna give you a hard test. They're not gonna give you a hard test when you go to college. To get in there, an interest test, gonna be, wanna know what you got in that brain. So value the brain. And Islam is a call to people to tell them to value human life and to value the most productive organ in your body, your brain, so that you can become educated. So the call to life must be a call to wake up my mind, to wake up my intelligence, to make me more curious, minded, to know what is good for me in this life. What can make my life more healthy and more comfortable? How can I enrich my life better? How can I serve my loved ones better? All of this needs education. It needs the brain to be turned on. So when you are called to worship, understand, Muslim brothers and sisters, that you are called to come with your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, to come with your whole life, and to come to enrich your whole life, and most importantly, to enrich your mind. God wants to enrich your mind, because when your mind is enriched, you are of more value for you, to yourself and your loved ones. You are of more value to mankind. And Muslims should live to be of more value to their loved ones and more value to the whole of mankind. And I hope that this will inspire you as it has inspired me. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.